Chapter 1. Why is this tough and controversial issue worth discussing? Hosea 14:9 says, "Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall." Charles Spurgeon said, "Let us arouse ourselves to the sternest fidelity, laboring to win souls as much as if all depended wholly upon ourselves, while we fall back in faith upon the glorious fact that everything rests with the eternal God." What difference does it make? What good can come from studying the mysterious and sometimes upsetting subject of God's sovereignty and human free will? In small group Bible studies at colleges and seminaries, on blogs and radio programs, sovereignty and free will are bantered about. Some recognize these issues as hugely important. Convinced of their position, they look for opportunities to make their case. Others shrug and say, "These doctrines cause division. They're impossible to understand. Why even try?" I believe one compelling reason to study them is to better understand what we cannot fully understand. And in the case of God's sovereignty and human choice, while it's not imperative that I understand everything, it is important that I believe in both. If I don't believe in God's sovereignty, I'll either despair or imagine that I must carve out my own path. If I don't believe in my freedom to make meaningful human choices, I'll either give up on life or not take responsibility for my decisions. Following are six other excellent reasons to think about these issues. 1. To develop a deeper appreciation for God and His Word, which reveals Him to us. When the United States announced its intention to send a man to the moon, it mobilized untold resources. By the time Neil Armstrong set foot on the lunar surface in July 1969, the U.S. space program had done much more than reach its objective. Along the way, great advances were made in medicine, engineering, chemistry, physics, and numerous other fields. NASA aimed at the moon and got a whole lot more. Likewise, our pursuit of godly wisdom and understanding will not only deepen our perspective on a specific passage or topic, but also help us in countless other ways as we give extra effort to diligently and prayerfully meditate on God's Word. By the time you finish this book, I hope you'll have learned about God's sovereignty and our choices and a lot more, too. A second reason is to help us mirror Christ's humility. True humility and wisdom consist of recognizing how little we really know. The Bible insists we know in part, and we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, 1 Corinthians 13:9 and 12. However, God is honored when we go to His Word to learn more about Him and His ways. We're to bow to the wisdom of Scripture even when its mysteries are hard to wrap our minds around. Humility requires that we not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, see Romans 12:3, and that we realize how much we have to learn from God. When the Ethiopian eunuch was puzzling over Scripture, Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Acts 8:30. Asking God to enlighten us and give us insight from His Word will go a long way toward benefiting from this study. Bible study is exciting when we come expecting to learn, to be challenged, and to be transformed. If you aren't open to adjusting your opinions when they don't align with Scripture, this book is not for you. A third reason for this study: to embrace all of God's inspired Word, not just parts of it. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him." Our families and churches and the books we've read may have presented their cases first, but that doesn't mean they are right. The Message paraphrases Ecclesiastes 7:18, "It's best to stay in touch with both sides of an issue. A person who fears God deals responsibly with all of reality, not just a piece of it." God inspired all of His Word, not just parts of it, and He calls upon us to embrace it all. My desire in this book is to mine from God's Word all of reality, not just a piece of it. We should compare Scripture with Scripture to discern the whole counsel of God. Large dogs can get two tennis balls in their mouths at the same time. Not our Dalmatian Moses. He managed to get two in his mouth only momentarily. To his distress, one ball or the other always spurted out. Likewise, we have a hard time handling parallel ideas such as grace and truth, or God's sovereignty and our free will. We need to stretch our undersized minds to hold both of them at once. A paradox is an apparent contradiction, not an actual one. Sovereignty and meaningful choice are not contradictory. God has no trouble understanding how they work together. In His infinite mind, they coexist in perfect harmony. As you may have noticed, however, our minds are not infinite. And while our brains can never fully grasp sovereignty and meaningful choice, by affirming what Scripture says about both, we can avoid the mistake of denying one in order to affirm the other.